Please turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 13, verse 1. Romans chapter 13, verse 1. I don't have it marked, so I have to flip to it just like you guys do. Reminds me of a story. He always had his Bible was full of colored paper clips. And by it, he knew which passages he was going to turn to at any time, and he could just really quickly flip to the passages. And he would have the people going back and forth throughout their Bible during the message, and most people couldn't keep up because he was just, you know, going so quickly. Well, one day, this man who's telling me the story, he said he noticed the pastor was really going a lot slower in going to the different passages, and he was wondering what was going on. And then he noticed his little boy messing around with something, and he said, "Son, what are you doing? What do you got there?" And his hand was full of colored paper clips. Before the service, he had gone up and pulled all the paper clips out of the pastor's Bible. So I try to have that in mind, even if I do have the passage marked. A lot of times what I try to do is, you know, after I give you the passage, I talk a little bit like I just did, give you time to turn there. I asked Pastor Weigel if he, you know, any guidance or anything for doing this tonight, just, you know, anything I needed to know, and he said, "Oh, just something short." I told him what I was going to do. He said, "That sounds fine." I chose this verse a couple of reasons. Two main reasons. One is because I have little boy who I'm trying to teach obedience to have respect for authority, and two, because our elections are coming up, and so it just makes me think about authority a lot. And I was thinking about that our society has changed its attitude towards authority. Back in the 60s, you had the whole movement arise of challenge authority. You know, they would say, you know, like I was reading this one thing where this young man stood up in a class and he yelled out, you know, in the middle of the class, "Challenge authority!" You know, and the whole attitude of our nation is one of no respect for authority. And I wanted to talk about authority a little bit from what the Bible says about it. Chapter 13, verse 1, it says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God." The word translated here, power, is the use of the word power in the sense of authority. You know, we talk about political power and all that. And so, fine translation, but what we're talking about here is authority. We're not talking about, like, energy. We're talking about authority, the concept of authority. We have here, a lot of times, you know, when you're studying a passage, you have to, you know, in every message I was taught in my preaching, and I find myself, you know, that I'm naturally geared that way, that in every message we should have something that we're trying to convince people to do or believe. So we're always trying to convince people to do something about the Word of God. And a lot of times, you know, when you're studying a passage, you have to develop that, you know, you have to study the passage and draw that out, because it may not be, you know, very clear right from the first reading. But here, we have the command given to us right at the start. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. Greek has something that English doesn't, which is kind of interesting. I was sharing it with Heidi. In English, if we want to tell someone what to do, you know, the command form, there's only what's called the second person imperative. I'm talking to you, I'm telling you what to do. Greek also has third person imperative. So I'm talking to you, but I'm telling him what to do. You know, it's a command in reference to him, but I'm talking to you. And that's what we have here, is that it's speaking to the reader, but the command is third person. So it's not limited to the person it's speaking to, but as it says here, every soul. It's not as forceful. It's called, they say that it has a cohortative force. You know, the idea is it's an encouragement. Often it's done in situations where you know how in 1 Corinthians says, in reference to the Lord's Supper, it says, but let a man examine himself. That's not something you're going to be doing all the time. You know, you're not going to be observing the Lord's Supper all the time. You're not going to be in a situation where you're facing issues of authority all the time. You know, someone isn't constantly over you issuing orders. But it wants us to have this attitude toward authority. It's encouraging and exhorting us to be subject unto the higher authorities. And by this it means any authority over us. Any authority that's over us, we are to be subject to it. In the following verses, it explains that it's talking about human authority here. But it commands us to be subject or obedient to the higher authorities. And it gives us reason why. It says that every authority that is in place is ordained by God. Now this creates an interesting situation, because we see in the world that not every person that's in authority is a good person. You know, there's dictators all over the world, and we have leaders in our own country who make bad decisions. But it says that we are to be subject unto them, because it says that there is no authority that exists in the world except that it is ordained by God, appointed by God. Nebuchadnezzar learned that lesson when God drove him. You know, Nebuchadnezzar stood looking over his city from his palace walls, and he looked over the city of Babylon. He said, "Is not this great Babylon which I have built?" And God drove him mad and took the authority from him and made him like a wild beast. And then after passage of time had come and gone, God restored his sanity to him. And he declared, you know, before his people that God causes nations to rise and to fall, and he puts over them whomsoever he pleases, even the basest of men. I found it interesting when I was studying Romans, and it talked about Pharaoh, that God had ordained Pharaoh for wrath. And I put it this way. I said, God raised up Pharaoh so he could knock him down. Martin Luther, in his book, The Bondage of the Will, he wrote something I found interesting. He said, God uses men as he finds them. If they are godly men, he uses them as godly men. If they are wicked men, he uses them as wicked men. But he always accomplishes his purpose, his greater purpose. And this is where faith comes in, that we have to trust the Lord, that he's the one in control. There may be ungodly people. You know, when the Apostle Paul wrote Romans, Nero was emperor. Nero the madman. The man who kicked his own mother to death. Actually, he kicked his pregnant wife to death, and he stabbed his mother. And it's recorded that she said, yes, you know, pierce the womb that bore a monster. And he's the one that they accuse him of having set Rome on fire so that he could rebuild it. They said that he would dip Christians in wax and then tie them to stakes and set them on fire to light his garden parties. I mean, he was a monster. He was the emperor when the Apostle Paul wrote this. So just because someone's in power who's a bad person doesn't relieve us of our responsibility to obey this passage, to obey the authority that God has put in place. Now, understand, though, that there does come a time where we have to say, like the apostles, which is better, to obey men or God? But we're not talking about our likes and our dislikes or even wise and unwise decisions. Where these men who disobeyed, you know, when you look at the God-honoring men of the Bible who disobeyed the authorities over them, they did so because the authorities over them were commanding them to break God's commandments. The Sanhedrin had told Peter not to preach the gospel. The companions of Daniel were ordered to bow down to the idol. They were commanded to break God's commandments. If someone were to tell us not to preach the gospel, we would have to, in good conscience, continue preaching the gospel. And as things are going, we may see that here someday. There are already countries where that's the case. If you actually preach the gospel as it's contained in the Word of God, with the understanding that if you reject Christ, you will spend an eternity in hell, that is considered a form of terrorism in some countries. I know that in France it's already illegal. That is considered, you know, basically a form of terrorism, that you're trying to terrorize people. And it's considered hate speech. But as we're approaching this day, we don't obey the laws because they are wise. There are laws that I think are foolish. I don't see the point in them. I think the seatbelt laws there is to make more money for the people who make the seatbelts. I feel the same way about auto insurance. I've been driving for quite a few years now, never once needed it. So how many thousands of dollars is that going to the pockets of the auto insurance company? Someone was trying to tell me, they're trying to convince me that it was needful. And I said, wait a minute. I said, these are private companies. This isn't a government agency. They wouldn't exist if they weren't making a profit off of this. So they're pulling in more money than they're ever paying out. This is a big profit thing for them. But I have auto insurance. I pay it every month. I wear my seatbelt every time I climb into my car. The reason I brought those was not to defy the brought up those points was to defy the government, was to illustrate, I disagree, but I obey. Because it is right to obey. My wife and I were talking about this, and I said, you can be submissive to authority when they're telling you to do something that you want to do anyway, but nobody's going to know it. Submissiveness is shown when someone tells you to do something that you don't want to do, and you do it anyway, because authority said to do it. Now, like I said, there's always that line that we have to watch for. If they command us to disobey God, we must respectfully defy. Say, no, we will obey God. But otherwise, we have the obligation before God to obey the authorities over us. Whether that be our employer or our the police officer or the mayor or the city legislature or, you know, whoever God has placed in authority over us, that authority comes from God. And the Bible, it goes on, it says, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God. This isn't a man-made thing. This comes from the Lord God. If we find ourselves defying authority, legitimate authority, we're finding ourselves opposite to God. We're putting ourselves in a conflict on the side that's opposed to God. So as we're approaching this election and as we see our country going insane, we must remember to honor the authorities that God has put over us in our lives.